Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Sometimes going to the grocery store can be chaotic. There doesn't seem to be enough time to check the list, make sure everything is there, search for the best prices, and take the time to make sure you got the best quality meat. So, let ButcherBox help you out. Giving you peace of mind, ButcherBox delivers high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust straight to your door. No grocery carts required. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or hormones, 100% grass-fed, free-range, and crate-free. What more can you ask for? What about free shipping, customized box plans, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, tips, and tricks? You really can't go wrong with ButcherBox. Sign up at butcherbox.com/morningcup and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/morningcup and use code morningcup to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning.
Cup of murder.
Some devastating events have unforeseen silver linings. And while these positive changes will never make up for the human loss, they do offer some closure and resolve that, hopefully, something so tragic will never happen again. On July 10, 1952, a man was born who would go on a massacre in a church filled with teenagers. And while nothing makes up for the 7 lives he took, the city of Fort Worth, Texas, did what they could to assure that something so devastating never happened again. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. On September 15, 1999, over 150 teens and a number of chaperones gathered at Wedgewood Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, to attend a See You at the Pole rally. Christian rock group 40 Days was performing as well, so the event drew quite the crowd of young people from several different churches in the area. As the teens gathered in the sanctuary, at around 7 p.m., a man dressed in all black interrupted the prayer rally by loudly slamming his hands on the door to make sure that everyone turned their eyes towards him. When he was sure that all eyes were on him, he pulled out a 9mm semi-automatic handgun and a .380 and opened fire. When the killer burst in, 38-year-old Kevin Gailey was standing in the hallway leading into the sanctuary. As he stood there, he heard 5 gunshots, rushed to where the kids were congregating, and came face to face with the gunman, Larry Jean Ashbrook. Larry, a 47-year-old man born July 10, 1952, fired his weapon at Kevin's chest, and the man, filled with adrenaline and fear, stepped between the gunman and 2 women before sustaining another shot to his pelvis. According to his later reports, Kevin had no idea he'd been so severely injured during the attack. In fact, he thought that Larry was an actor hired by the church for a skit, and that he'd been hit with paintballs and not bullets. That the blood oozing from his side was simply paint. Then Larry dropped a clip on the ground, and one look at it told Kevin that this was not a skit, and that he and everyone else in the church were in serious danger. It was then that he opened up the sanctuary door and started firing at the kids. While he continued his attack, shooting his weapon and detonating a homemade pipe bomb, Larry began screaming anti-Baptist rhetoric. And when he yelled out that, quote, "this religion is bullshit," he was confronted by a 19-year-old football player named Jeremiah Neitz, who tried to engage the man in conversation in order to stop the attack. Jeremy told the stranger, "Sir, you don't have to be doing this." And when he asked his religion, Jeremy answered that he was a Christian. Larry responded, "That sucks," and explained that it was a stupid religion before pulling back the trigger several more times. The boy continued to try and talk the gunman off the ledge before Larry finally told him to fuck off and, "I can't believe you believe in this junk." He then sat down, grabbed one of his weapons, and turned it on himself. When the dust settled on the worst mass murder in the city's history, 7 people were killed, 3 received major injuries, and 4 more were minorly injured. Those dead were Christy Beckel, 14, Sean C. Brown, 23, Sidney R. Browning, 36, Joseph D. Ennis, 14, Cassandra Griffin, 14, Susan Kimberly Jones, 23, and Justin Stegner Ray, 17. And those injured were Robert DeBoard, 17, Justin Laird, 16, Kevin Gailey, 38, Nicholas Skinner, 14, Jeff Laster, 34, Janine Brown, 41, and Mary Beth Talley, 17. When police began their investigation into the crime, they found that 2 people inside of the sanctuary just so happened to be filming when Larry Ashbrook walked in and opened fire. On it, they could see the close to 200 people inside of the church making attempts to run and hide as the sounds of gunshot interrupted their rally. Also seen is the deadly man coldly pacing back and forth throughout the room, methodically choosing his next victim, reloading his weapon several times, and firing shot after shot after shot. He didn't look crazed, and he wasn't panicked. He simply looked as though he had a job to do and was making sure it got done. One of the cameramen who caught the footage was 17-year-old senior Justin Ray, one of the victims who perished that night in the church. A church that, according to police, was not one you would come across by accident, meaning Larry specifically targeted this building for one reason or another after passing a number of other churches along the way. It was also a church where, days after the shooting, the congregation had the bloody carpet and pews removed and let the surviving teens tag the sanctuary, where many of them lost friends and loved ones, allowing them to write or draw anything they wanted as a means to cope with the tragedy that they had witnessed. One girl, just 7 years old, told her parents that she was too scared to go back to Wedgwood. They insisted, and she agreed, but only, quote, "if I can wear my tennis shoes in case I have to run again." While all of the victims did what they needed to try and move on with their lives, local police worked to try and find the motive for the shooting attack. According to the journals found in Larry Ashbrook's home, he had grown increasingly angry and depressed over the last year or so, having difficulty finding and keeping a job. He was, according to officials, a troubled man and a social outcast who thought the shooting might quiet whatever demons he had brewing inside of him. He never married, had no children, and had strange habits that led to his elderly neighbors retreating to their homes whenever they saw him. When his mother died 9 years before, his violent and erratic behavior seemed to worsen, and his father, whom he lived with after his mother's passing, died just 2 months before the Wedgwood shooting. A man whom neighbors saw, Crazy Larry, pushed down and abused on a number of occasions, but failed to report out of fear of retaliation. He destroyed the inside of his father's home with crowbars, filled the toilets with concrete, and, according to investigators, poisoned the fruit trees growing in the front yard. Just 9 days before the shooting, Larry wrote 2 letters to the editor of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, complaining about the CIA, psychological warfare, assaults by his co-workers, and claims that he was being drugged by local police and that they suspected him of being a serial killer, even coming by the offices and visiting with the city editor, Stephen Kay, who described Larry as an extremely nice man who in no way set off any red flags. He told Stephen that he was being targeted by police, framed as a serial killer, but promised that he was innocent, saying that he wanted to tell someone his story, but no one would listen to him. Despite all of this, police could not find a concrete motive for the crime. Yes, he seemed to be losing touch with reality, and yes, he was growing increasingly more paranoid over the last few months. But nothing explained his target on Wedgwood Church, on religion, or on the children inside. Though, according to a local writer, Larry had ties with the Phineas priesthood and Christian identity, both of which view mainstream Christianity as the enemy, meaning that his target of Wedgwood could have simply been explained by its "See You at the Pole" rally, a day for celebrating Christianity. But in the end, all of this is speculation, and a true motive will probably never be known. The Fort Worth shooting came just 5 months after those that took place at Columbine High School, after which city officials and police leaders met to speak about preventing such a tragedy from happening in their hometown. They left the meeting feeling pretty prepared, but knowing that there was very little that they could do in an active shooting situation. A fact that was proven just a few months later when Larry Ashbrook walked into Wedgwood Baptist Church. They met a second time after their own shooting and created the mental health connection of Tarrant County, which made it easier for residents to access mental health services that may have helped Larry, whose family thought he suffered from paranoid schizophrenia. They also created the No Wrong Door policy with mental health providers, which meant that all agencies worked together to get people the help they needed, no matter what group they came to first. They received more than $50 million in grants and have made a huge difference in their community. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear what terrible thing happened on July 11th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.